The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you today?
Thank you.
Dr. Smith, today's topic is one that's very interesting and plays an important part in community health and individual health and wellness, both physical and behavioral, and that is we're going to talk about the Crime Victims Assistance Program here in Ulster County. And certainly safe homes, safe neighborhoods, and safe public places are all key to well-being. And we're very, very fortunate to have with us a special guest. Her name is Sarah Kramer Harrison, and she's the Crime Victims Counselor Volunteer Coordinator for Ulster County Crime Victims Assistance Program. Welcome, Sarah.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Sarah, good morning. Let's start by telling our listeners a little bit about Crime Victims Assistance Program, how it came into being, how it's funded, what its mission is.
Sure. So Ulster County Crime Victims came into effect in 1979 with the recognition that victims have a very specific set of needs, and we wanted to provide a program that helped to keep victims connected to the systems and the criminal justice processes that are happening around their cases, so they feel like they have a piece in the process, and that their voices are heard, and that we provide holistic approaches to meeting each person where they're at and helping them move forward so that they can move beyond the crime that's happened to them.
Mm-hmm. And what type of holistic approaches do you use? Is it group sessions or individual counseling, or how does that work? Or in that everyday practice?
Well, it's more focused on a trauma-informed approach where we're talking with the survivor about what happened to them and what they feel that they need, what the barriers are to moving forward, and helping to make those connections within the community to get them other services in place so that they can make those steps moving forward. And we don't do, there isn't a specific methodology that we use for working with, every person. We're looking at them on a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. And some people need more handle and more assistance, and other people are in a different place and don't need quite as much. So we're taking it on a case-by-case basis to provide appropriate services to each person for where they're at.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that, and I'm just curious, do you mm-hmm. find that some people that have gone through violent crimes are in a place where they just want to forget about it? I mean, not get involved at all, just like want the professionals to handle it? Is that, and then some others who need much more assistance or much more interaction?
Absolutely. Not everyone is in the same place. Some people may want to move forward with a criminal justice process, and other people don't, and that is their right, at least when we're looking at cases that are specifically sexual assault focused. You don't have to be moving forward with the criminal justice process to work with our program. We're free. We'll work with anyone that calls us and meet them where they're at. And we work with a number of different crimes, from sexual assault to domestic violence, assault, DWI, when there's been some kind of injury. We'll help the family, the survivors, or the family of the survivors. We work with homicide victims, their families, to help them access funds out of Albany to be able to possibly help pay for funeral expenses or those types of things, or counseling, or other costs that come about because they were a victim of a crime.
Mm-hmm. Was it the case that in past times that the victims were really not recognized in terms of their needs? And in the past, is that why a lot of funding and programs were put into place to really give the victim a place in the system so that they weren't forgotten?
Well, I don't know if I can speak to the longevity of that as I'm newer in the field. However, it is important to recognize that victims have rights, and some of what we do is educate people on what their rights are, whether that's if they were sexually assaulted, they have the right to a free sexual assault exam through a sane nurse at the hospital to make sure that their bodies are intact, and if they need any preventive medications, they can get that. They have the right to write a victim impact statement around the sentencing of a perpetrator. So they have different specific rights that they may not know about, and it's kind of our role to help educate them about what their choices are so that they can make the choices that are right for them.
Would you find that, or have you found that you are dealing with more women than men?
We do. And we recognize that sexual assault and domestic violence and all of these different types of crimes certainly happen in a number of different scenarios, whether it's men on men, women on women, women on men. And most commonly, we see men on women. And some of that has to do with the numbers of crimes that are happening in that mix. But also, when you start talking about a man coming forward, it brings up all of these other scenarios about reporting and what is masculinity, and I likely they'd be reporting to another man. So are they going to feel strong enough to go forward with that? And, you know, so those processes. But generally, most of our survivors are women, but we work with people across every cultural, language, sexuality, orientation. We're open doors and available to everybody. And in fact, we have a new Spanish-speaking counselor on our staff, and we've been seeing our Spanish-speaking population numbers increasing over the last year since she's been with us.
Oh, interesting. So the word's getting out there then.
Absolutely.
And how is your staffing structured? I mean, do you have full-time behavioral health counselors and others or any kind of medical staff, or is it more referral or a combination?
Yeah. And legal. You're the legal
assistant.
Right. Yes,
legal would be.
Right. So our program, some crime victims programs take more of a therapeutic model where they're really focused more on counseling. Our program is more of an advocacy-based program where we're helping to keep people connected to the criminal justice system and connect people to resources. So we do a lot of referring out to appropriate supports. Legal counsel, we have two very, very exciting grants with Ulster County Legal Services of the Hudson Valley.
Right, we've had them on the program.
Yeah, so we have a grant for domestic violence so that we can refer people over and they can get free civil legal advice. And now that has been expanded to any victim of crime. So it's really an exciting new option that we have open to help people with evictions or name changes or custody issues or all the different variables that can come up in when someone's been the victim of a crime. So,
And we know that you were involved. Actually, you developed a very innovative program that's gotten a lot of attention both locally and nationally and so on, and it's called the Ulster County Bystanders Against Sexual Assault. Tell us about that program, how you came to develop that and what it does.
Yeah, I mean, at Crime Victims, we are the Rape Crisis Center for Ulster County, and part of my role is to be the educator for the community. So it seemed like a pretty obvious choice to start looking at how we can help reduce the number of sexual assaults that occur in Ulster County, because we deal with a fair number of them, and we'd like to see those numbers drop. So we were starting to hear all of this interest within social media around specialty drinks, ways to notify a bartender that you were in trouble and that you needed help either getting a cab or calling the police or something of that nature. And so Cynthia Kraft, who created the program with me and myself, started bouncing this around and thinking about, well, that's a lot of pressure to put on a survivor to be able to recognize that they're in a situation that they need help getting out of, to safely be able to advocate for themselves to get to a bartender, and for the bartender not to be so busy to be able to recognize that they need help. And so we started talking about alternatives. And there was this interest about bar safety, and there is a strong correlation between alcohol use and either offender or victim's use during or after some during the perpetration of this crime. So about 50% of crimes have some sort of alcohol use. So what we realized is that bars have a built-in staff. And if we were able to train staff to be able to recognize offender behavior and to be able to provide appropriate interventions, that maybe we could take the focus off of the victim being able to say, hey, I'm in trouble, and we have a system here that can help prevent and put offenders on notice that we're checking in with our people and we care, and that type of behavior isn't going to be tolerated here. So
interesting, and we want to hear a lot more about that, but first we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio.
I love the way that picture looks. Can you move it to the left just a bit? Careful on the ladder.
Really? You know I'm always careful. Let me move it just a little bit more. Uh-oh!
Let's face it, accidents happen. When life takes an unexpected turn, you want your family treated at a full-service emergency room, where you'll find physicians who are board-certified in emergency medicine.
Let's get in the car. We're going to the ER.
Oh, but we'll be waiting for hours.
Introducing the 30 minutes or less ER Pledge, only at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital in Poughkeepsie and Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, members of the WMC Health Network. When you arrive in either of these emergency rooms, you'll be seen by a member of the care team within 30 minutes. Expert trusted emergency care without the wait. To read the 30 minutes or less ER pledge, visit wmchealth.org/ER30.
Well, that was painless.
Hey, I'm the one with the stitches.
No, I was talking about the wait.
Another way the WMC Health Network is advancing care here.
Raising kids can be tough these days. As a parent, you've got your hands full making sure your kids have what they need to stay healthy and get the care they need when they're sick. Well, now there's help. Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program offer free or low-cost health insurance for kids and teens, all the way up to age 19. They can get regular checkups, immunizations, doctor and dentist visits, hospital care, mental health services, prescriptions, and more. Children in a family of four earning up to $47,100 a year may qualify. It's a helping hand for parents with their hands full. For more information about free or low-cost children's health insurance in your state, go to chipmedicaid.org or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. That's 1-877-543-7669. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest today is Sarah Kramer-Harrison, who is the Crime Victims Counselor and a volunteer coordinator for the Ulster County Crime Victims Assistance Program. Before the break, Sarah, we were starting to talk more about that program, which is novel and innovative and is being recognized far and wide as having some evidence basis to support its validity. And can you talk a little bit more about that program? How is the funding structured for that and supports that you may receive?
Sure. Our program, Ulster County Crime Victims, is funded through the Violence Against Women's Act and through OVS funding at the state level.
OVS meaning?
Office of Victim Services.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And the county also provides some funding to our program as well through the probation department, which is the department that we're under.
Okay.
So BASA is Ulster County Bystanders Against Sexual Assault. UC BASA is the training we structured around talking about what consent is how the program starts, and talking about bars and why people attend and the different reasons that people go. It could be to meet other people. It could be to watch their favorite sports teams or to go dancing, or any other number of reasons. And we also talk about what kind of numbers we're seeing in terms of sexual assault in Ulster County and what is available to sexual assault survivors. We talked about the SANE nurse exam that is available to all survivors earlier in the program. So we bring knowledge like that and talk about bystander interventions, the connection between alcohol use and offender behavior, and victims, and what number, and we try and talk about some of the myths that come up, that it's the scary white van, or that sexual assault is perpetrated by a stranger, when in reality, 80% of the time, the survivor knew the perpetrator to some level. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're dating. It could be someone they met in math class, or met at a bar a couple of times, or something of that nature, but enough to let their guard down, so that they feel safe to maybe have them take them home, or to be with them.
Mm-hmm. And you said your approach was to enlist the support and assistance of the staff at the bars, right?
That's correct. So
if you were to go to a bar owner, mm-hmm. or a manager, what would the pitch be, so to speak?
Well, we've had great buy-in from the police chiefs in the areas where we have launched the program. And in a lot of cases, they've been a piece of getting us in the door with the bars. Initially, we started in New Paul's with Chief Snyder, and he is the Bar and Tavern Association. So we met with them and we talked about why we felt like this program was important. And Mike Beck really bought in hook, line, and sinker, and
P&G's,
has been
right?
P&G's,
yeah.
And he has been a big proponent of, you know, doing the reach out and getting other bars on board. So, you know, when something happens as someone leaves an establishment, it causes a lot of investigation into an establishment that may or may not be, I mean, it's needed for the case, but if we can avoid that to begin with, it's all the better. You know, talking to bartenders and how much were people served, and maybe talking to patrons, and it's intrusive. And so this is a way to help prevent these crimes, because they escalate. They don't just... Most times they don't just happen like a full,
right.
sexual assault, but right. it's an escalating. It may start with some catcalls or, you know, patting of somebody's body in an unwanted way. And so if we can intervene on those lower levels of perpetration, then we can hopefully stop it from escalating and deter offenders from staying in the establishment or pursuing this further.
Mm-hmm. And do you have some kind of formal training program that you initiate with bartenders and waitstaff? How does that work?
Well, that's what the Ulster County Bystanders Against Sexual Assault mm-hmm. program is. Mm-hmm. We go in and we meet with bar staff and all front of house staff, so bouncers, security guards, wait staff, bartenders, bussers, managers, owners, and we train them around what appropriate bystander intervention looks like, whether it's a direct approach, telling someone that they need to leave, whether it's referring it to their manager and saying, hey, something's going on here, and can you keep an eye out and do something about it, because I'm, you know, bussing tables, or whether it's a distraction, maybe trying to get a friend to intervene or connecting people back to who they came with. So there's a variety of different methods, and the goal is for people to safely and appropriately intervene. We're not looking for people to, you know, make ruckus in establishments. We want everyone to be safe and to have a good experience when they're going out, because most people can go out to bars and these types of establishments and have a safe and great time. It's not about bars being an unsafe place. It's about recognizing that you're only unsafe when there's an offender looking to perpetrate a crime.
Mm-hmm. And how do you instruct staff in terms of what to look for, like warning signs or red flags that might come up?
Yeah, what's great about this program is that it's not just us directly teaching. It's a conversation.
Uh-huh.
And it's about bars. We bring multiple bars together, hopefully at least two, so that they can crosstalk. Like, what do you see in your establishment? Well, there's this guy that comes in and he buys drinks, you know, and he's not drinking at the same rate that the person he's buying drinks for is, or, you know, we know he goes home with somebody different every night and he gets a little aggressive, or she is, you know, known for not taking no as an answer. So So ideally, it's about a conversation and the establishments teaching each other, because they have a range of different skill levels. They have people that have been there for 10, 15, 20 years. And then they also have people that have been in the business for 6 months or a year. And so this is a community program where we all come together and have a great conversation and learn from each other. And I've learned a lot from the bars that I've worked with.
And how's the reception for this been, generally speaking, owners and staff?
It's been great. We've had a huge amount of support from the county executive's office all the way along, and continuing to kind of push us to grow into these other towns. We started in New Paul's initially, and then we came into Kingston. And it's been a little bit of a harder sell in Kingston, but we're still working on it. And we've made a big leap in the last couple of months, and now we're in Saugerties as well. So the buy-in's been good. There are certainly some establishments that just aren't quite ready for it because they don't feel like it's happening there. And I would argue that sexual assault happens across
everywhere.
Every class of people, every type of establishment. And again, we're not saying that sexual assaults are necessarily being perpetrated in the bars, but we're seeing these lower level things. And as people are leaving, that's when we see the assaults happening. And when we take preventive measures like this, then we don't know how many cases we're preventing. Mm-hmm. And
you've received attention from on a regional, state, and national level, according to your notes. How did they find out about you, and what kind of data did they look at?
How did they find out about us? I'm not quite sure. I mean, we were first in the state, and there was a press release by the county executive's office, and the next thing we knew, we were having interviews with the Department of Health at the state level, and then we were having bigger interviews with numbers of departments at the state level from the Alcohol and Tobacco Commission to, I won't go into all of the names.
Right.
And then we were even getting calls from people out of state that were speaking to our uppers, saying this is a great program. And we applied for a National Association of Counties award, and we were issued one last year.
Well, congratulations.
So, thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful. And so if folks want more information, either, you know, just members of the general public or bar owners or workers, where do they go for that information? How do they get in touch with you?
They would call me at 845-340-3445. Again, that's 845-340-3445. And I'm Sarah Kramer Harrison.
And also on the county website, ulstercountyny.gov, right? And
yes.
Search
Ulster County Crime Victims Assistance Program. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And also, I know that we added a whole section on the ulsterhelps.org site, and ulsterhelps.org, which is also can be found on your phone. It's a mobile optimized website where you can get a lot of this information. And it's really terrific work and very innovative, and we're very proud of you. Thank you to you and your colleagues for doing all of this. Unfortunately, we are out of time once again, Dr. Smith. And we urge everyone to be safe out there and learn all you can about the subject and keep yourselves safe. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.